Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In retrospect, and in spite of my aching joints and other evidence of aging, I was extremely lucky to get my veterinary education when I did. I entered veterinary school after veterinary medicine had made the decision to pattern itself after human medicine, but was not so deeply entrenched that the respect for and awareness of normal animal behavior wasn't still part of the curriculum. Had I been a few years younger, I probably wouldn't even have gotten into vet school. It wasn't that much later that statistics became a requirement in the pre-veterinary curriculum. That was a telling addition. The rise of the age of numbers, based on the belief that numbers don't lie, that ignored the second half of the quote, which is, "But statisticians certainly can and do." With the rise of statistics also came the attack of the killer MBAs. And during this transition, several things happened. Medicine made the transition from being a service to being an industry. Simultaneously, the age of greed emerged, and the bottom line, the profit, became the end-all and be-all, even for supposedly non-profit organizations. If we take this combination of focus on statistics, money, and profit, and we add rapidly developing technology, particularly biotechnology, we find ourselves in a very awkward position today. The idea is that if the technology is there, we want to use it. We want to use it regardless of the consequences. And if there are consequences, if it doesn't work out the way we think it should work out, we say, well, this is not the problem of the technology. This is not the problem of the science. Science is amoral. Which, as anyone who knows how the brain works knows, that is bullshit. In the area of biotechnology, I recently mentioned that there are those who are genetically engineering mosquitoes. You change the mosquitoes so that when they reproduce sterile offspring, or they reproduce only mosquitoes of one particular sex. That was a nice one to sneak in because there isn't a whole lot of public sentiment regarding mosquitoes. Sure, biologists are concerned because of the role that mosquitoes play in the food chain and the survival of other species, but the average person doesn't give a crap. Now we're expanding that. Another somewhat horrifying bit of genetic god playing that's currently in the works is to genetically manipulate rodents so that when they reproduce, they only produce male offspring. The idea is to use this technique on rats. The idea of having populations of all male rats out there is terrifying. In a recent opinion piece in the New York Times, Hillary Rosner does note that current genetic manipulating technology does offer the seductive possibility of saving at-risk species by manipulating the genes of their persecutors. Unfortunately, being the kind of person who pays more attention to causes of problems than symptoms, as soon as I read that, I laughed. My initial reaction was, they're talking about genetic manipulation of human polluters, of the people who are responsible for climate change. But no, I was wrong. She wasn't referring to the cause of the problem. She was referring to the use of genetic manipulation to control the effects of the cause of the problem. It's an ethical dilemma, and I'm sure there will be lots of discussion about it. But as with everything else, while people are discussing it, slowly but surely, and probably quietly, these changes are going to be made, and future generations are going to have to live with them. The good news is that it can't last forever. Let's just hope that by the time the pendulum swings back to a more conscientious, service-oriented one rather than an exploitative one, there will be something and someone left to benefit from it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.